Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on Guest Thursday, and this is the going to be part two of actually me being the guest.
Yes, and I'm loving, I think our listeners are too, loving hearing the stories of your background. Yeah. And it's just great for everybody to get a little more personal insight into who you are, where you came from, and God's journey that he has, his story that he's written on your life, really, right?
Yeah, it's really been amazing. You can see the hand of God. By the way, you know, we talked about, you know, what happened to me with, you know, my brother, you know, in Vietnam, and then me with my sports. I would have been at the point where at the and people don't probably don't even remember this, but they had a lottery where they drew your birthday, and the first, you know, about 120 to 30 dates, you're going to get drafted and have to go to the war.
Oh, wow.
And my draft number was 23. So I would have been drafted and had to go to the war.
Were it not for your hip injury?
Because of my hip injury, I was already classified as what's called 4F. You cannot go to battle. You can't go in the military. And I was exempt.
Wow.
And that's why I got to finish college.
Right. And a lot of your peers and classmates were certainly a part of Vietnam, right?
Yep. They had to go there at the very end of it. And so, you know, again, you look at the, in my opinion, I wish I could have been a professional baseball player. And it would have been fun to do that. But God had other plans.
Right.
And use something that, and who knows, you know, maybe that was saved my life, you know, so to speak.
Right.
You know? So it's interesting. But, you know, we picked it up last time where Linda and I had decided we were working and had the baby, and Linda was deciding to said, hey, we need to go to church. And so we, you know, I said, sure. You know, I wasn't opposed to it. I just didn't think about it. It wasn't important to me at all.
And now, how did you guys decide? Because you grew up with a Catholic background,
no,
right?
It was
gone through confirmation.
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian. Okay.
And Linda was similar in what was at that time was Congregational United Church of Christ. So we were similar in you know, worship stuff, but neither one of us cared much about, you know, the details of it. Just, yeah, it's a good thing to go. So we went
and
to.
And I've got a kid now, and that's the story. Just I'm going to insert here. That is an interesting story that I see play out time and time again, that once children are introduced into the story, that's when people a lot of times are the most open to seeking God.
Yeah,
they recognize they want something more for their children, and then they head back to the church. And so it's a very interesting time, I think.
Yeah. So we went to a local Presbyterian church, you know, and it just happened to be there. And we go in, and when you attend, they had a little thing they passed down the row of, you know, attendance, and, you know, get your name and
sign
address.
Sign your name and address. Yeah.
So we did, you know, it's okay. So they had what was called back then a Kennedy lay evangelism program. And that would be where, and they were trained. It was, this guy was actually out of Coral Gables, Florida, and had developed it. And it's now national at that time. You get their name and you just show up at their house. And when you show up, hey, we're from the church, we'd like to talk to you, and they generally are welcomed in. And they're supposed to ask you some questions and get to the punchline. And the punchline is, if you guys died tonight, where, on what basis do you think you would make it in heaven?
Right.
And of course, at that time, I would have said, well, I'm a pretty good person, you know, and all this stuff. And they would have said, well, we need to help you understand something about life and about, you know, nature and sin nature, and that nobody's good enough, you know, all that stuff they would have told us.
Right.
So they show up. So it's two businessmen and a businessman's mm-hmm. wife. And they show up. They come in, and they were friends, like okay. real close friends, but they hadn't seen each other in about a month. So they come in, they're sitting across from us, and all they did was start to catch up on their life.
Oh, interacting with each other, not with you guys?
No, they were interacting with each other because they got absorbed in that. And it was, you know, Jesus did this and Jesus did that, and we prayed and this supernatural thing happened, and we had this experience, and oh man, you know, this happened to us. And all they did is share about their life with Jesus for about 30, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then one of them said, gosh, you know, we're so sorry, but we got to go. and we know we didn't really spend many time with you. He said, you know, we'll call you later and maybe have you over and we can talk then. Yeah, but sorry, we're going to go. So they left. Mm-hmm. They never asked us a single question.
Oh, fascinating.
And they left. And Lynn and I look at each other and we said, man, did you hear all that stuff about Jesus? And, you mm-hmm. know, yeah. And their life is really exciting. You know, yeah. And I said, you know, Linda, why don't we pray that whatever they got, we get. So we literally got on our knees at their bed and said, God, we don't know anything about what all that's about, but we would like what they've experienced. That's what we would like.
That's fascinating.
And we both did that. And then they called us and said, hey, we'd like to mm-hmm. have you come over. Okay, we'll come over. We shared with them that we asked God to give us what you guys have. And they said, well, let us help you understand it. Mm-hmm. And so they got us into the Word and the verses about all have fallen short and what Jesus did at the cross. And you can have this life, and he's come to give it super abundantly. And, you know, would you like to confirm that? You know, yes, mm-hmm. we would. So we accepted Christ together. At that point in our
wow.
life.
Wow. And so you are young parents then, married about how long?
Now we're going on our second year of marriage.
Second year of marriage, and yep. you have a child who's few months?
By the time, this would have probably been now 2 years into our marriage, so she's about a year old.
So she's a year or so.
A little bit over a year old. And we, you know, we accepted Christ together. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you know, would you like to learn what it means to be a follower of God? You know, and mm-hmm. yeah, sure. Tell you what, why don't we, because we're friends and we'd like to do this anyway, we'll invite you and a couple others, and we'll just start Friday night in the Word, mm-hmm. and we got to show you what's all about. Sure, great, no problem, we'll do that. You know, and so it was, all of us were young mm-hmm. and had little kids, little babies. So they would bring us over. We would all put our babies in a big room or a couple of rooms, mm-hmm. and we'd just be in the Word. And the one thing that happened to me early, because remember, I'm pretty intellectual, and I was very – everything was built on logic and science mm-hmm. and information like that. But when they started to explain to me about God's Word, mm-hmm. and something just happened, and it was just – you know, that's really kind of the beginning when I did hear a little bit of God's voice, is accept everything as true. Mm. And I said, you know what? I'm never going to debate this. I'm not going to wonder, is the Bible true? Is it not? Do I have to prove it? I'm just going to accept the whole thing as true right out of the gate. And, mm-hmm. I did. And then it was a matter of, okay, now I got to understand it, which I didn't understand at
right.
all.
Right. Right, and wrestle through the parts yeah. that didn't make sense. Yeah.
And the neat thing they did, which is really the basis of our retreats, is that we would come, and of course, we're all of us are in that, all of the young people except for those couples, mm-hmm. We didn't know nothing. And so, well, what about this? How do you raise mm-hmm. a kid? What do you do about finance? You know, all these questions. And they said, well, let's go find out. And they, that's instead awesome. Instead of telling us, they said, let's get into the Word.
They led you in discovery.
And let's see
yourself,
what it's
right?
all about. Like, ooh, this is cool. You know. And so it grew to about 40 couples.
Wow.
And they were all meeting us out and we'd have the kids come and young kids and older kids and they
gotta say it sounds a little chaotic.
It was chaotic, but they'd take them off into a different place, mm-hmm. and we'd sit there. Oftentimes, we'd be there till 1 o'clock in the morning, till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
You know, because we're just so hungry and experiencing mm-hmm. all this stuff, you know, and we're growing and growing and growing and learning and processing, and it was terrific. And then I got recruited. I was working for a Fortune 500 company mm-hmm. in healthcare, and I had actually started out in computers.
Okay.
Because that was my background, and I was really good
at it. Yeah, and
you
had that background with IBM we talked about earlier, too.
But then I got promoted into strategy, and I'm now only like 22 years old, mm-hmm. and I'm already a manager in a Fortune 500 company.
Wow.
And I get recruited by Corning Glassworks in New York.
Okay.
And they're assembling a group of young MBAs with a couple years' experience in healthcare. And we want to train you on how to do mergers and acquisitions.
Oh, interesting.
And we want to build a medical business. We have products that can go into medical, but we want to make it a real business. And we want you to acquire businesses and make it a real business. And okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we accepted it, got a really nice pay raise, and moved to New York and worked for Corning Glass. And they were...
How long were you in New York then?
We were probably like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And learned all this stuff and was very successful. And we wound up, you know, growing in our faith.
Right. Found a new church there a similar church? Or
it was actually a Christian Missionary Alliance. So they were a little bit what we call more fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, you know, we were in the Bible and learning the Bible and all that stuff.
And growing.
And there was a little bit of, you know, you ought to be spiritual and not of the world. And so work is like lower in priority and you should be, you should be thinking of ministry.
Right.
So
not seeing necessarily work as ministry yet.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And so I was... You know, I want to learn this stuff. I love this stuff, and I think I could do this. I could be a good pastor. You know, and so after about going on the third year at Corning, we wind up moving back to Chicago and going to seminary.
Okay.
And I go to seminary, and I'm actually there's a church.
Okay, pause this real quick. Yeah. Kids, where are we at on kids now?
Now we have the second kid. Michelle.
Oh, Pete. Oh, Michelle.
Michelle.
Okay, yep.
So we had Christina and Michelle. She was born in New York.
Okay.
And now we go back to Chicago with two kids, two girls.
Okay.
And there was a church that Linda's denomination had known that needed a pastor, and they didn't have very much money, and they were willing to let me go to school and pay me a little bit. And I became the pastor of this very liberal church, by the way.
Interesting.
But, yeah, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm going to just preach Jesus, and I don't care. And so I do. So I'm going to seminary, and I'm, at the church. And basically, at that point, because I wanted to get through school fast, I'm taking like 24 hours instead of 16.
Right, we see a theme here.
Yeah.
Fast school, fast cars, fast skiing.
Yeah.
This is who you are.
Yeah. And so, you know, I want to get through and get it done so I can get on with it. And so I'm zipping through, but I'm not really paying much attention to Linda at all and the kids not at all because I'm full-time everything else. So I get invited to a what's called a Christian Businessmen's Committee lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I'd like to learn about that. So, yeah, I go to this lunch. And that happened to be that the president of the organization was at that same lunch. And he's
right.
not even from that city. He just happened to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks over to me and says, God told me to get to know you.
Interesting.
So would you and your wife come and visit me? Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm thinking, oh, sure, you know, it's a president, you know, hey, this will be cool. So we go, and we go down there with our kids and meet him. And he says, tell me about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was, I told him a little bit about my, desire to be an athlete. I got into business. I left business, and I gave all that up because now I'm going to be a pastor and I'm going to serve God and I'm in this church and I'm doing all this stuff for God.
Mm-hmm.
He looks across the table and he says, "What a bunch of crap." You know, and I was like, "What do you mean? You know, look at what I'm doing for God." He said, "You don't even know God." He says, "Not once did you talk about your wife. Not once did you talk about your kids."
Wow.
"And you think you're working for God. You got it all backwards, son. It's about what God wants to do for you. And would you be willing to let me walk you through how to follow God?" And Linda said, "Wow. Yes, he would." Because she was dying on the vine, you know, and so he said, "Okay, now I'm going to help you, and we're just going to walk and get through the word, but I'm going to help you understand something about God." And okay, so we did. And over the next 6-7 months, he met with me either on the phone weekly at that time, and there's no email and all that stuff. But, you know, you will come and visit, and then you know, just keep processing. And he basically led me to, you know, what are you really good at?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I'm really good at business. I'm really mm-hmm. good at it." He said, "Well, let's go. I think God wants you to go back there. And don't worry, you'll have plenty of ministry in your life. Mm-hmm. If you live life with God, you'll naturally express it because it's all about people. It's not about position. And your gifting is in business. You should be an executive and go back and do that." Okay. So I finished school. And I got reconnected with a Fortune 500 company that was I had association with when I was at Corning, and they put me in as M&A head of M&A there in Chicago. So finished seminary, got my degree, went to work, had a really good experience with them, and I'm growing, you know, as a senior executive in a Fortune 500 company, and I wind up running at 29 years old now a $750 million division for this.
Wow.
For this deal, you know, so I'm a young successful executive. In terms of
paying any better attention to your wife and kids yet at this point,
I was paying better attention, but it was, you know, I know best. And Linda, we didn't have any clue about unity and processing, and
right,
and she was just
not like something you had learned yet. Yeah.
No, and she just said, "Yeah, you know, you're going to win every argument anyway, so you might as well just do what you're going to do, and I'll just accept it." You know, and so that was our pattern. We didn't have acrimony at all. It was just I got to do what I wanted to do, and if I had a decision to make, I'd make it, and she'd say whatever, because she knew it didn't do any good to argue with it. You know, and so at that point, somebody comes and says, "Hey, you can make a lot of money doing real estate as a kind of an investment thing, and you're smart and you can learn it." So okay, so I looked into it, found out that it was easy to do, and so I discovered that the best place to do it was in Dallas, Texas. So I went down there, and remember, this is a time, Kathy, where there's no cell phones, no email. You know, everything has to be done by hardline phone or faxes, you know. And I went and bought a piece of property. Designed a building, built a building, and sold the building. So now by this time, I'm a little bit over 31. And I'm doing it 2 hours a week from Chicago.
Wow.
And
doing it well.
And I did
succeeding.
It well.
Succeeding, yep.
And we made $2 million. Mm. And this is in the 70s, late 70s. And it's like, wow, that was cool. how fantastic is this? You know, and I said, "Hey, Linda, we can really, you know, develop wealth, and we'll be able to retire early and do all this stuff for the kids, and I'll donate all this money to God's work. And, you know, isn't this a great thing?" And she says, "No, I don't feel good about this. Mm-hmm. Something isn't right." I said, "What?" "I don't know, but something's not right." I said, "Well, that's it. I'm doing it.
That's not enough for me to go on." Yeah.
And other people around me had said, I think you're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. This isn't your primary business, and you know, you haven't been through cycles before, and aren't you taking a big risk? And shouldn't you just do maybe one? I said, hey, because if I do three buildings every 2 years, you know, we can make $6 million every 2 years. Look at where we can wind up, you know. And
right.
So I did. And this is, I think I talked, you know, I referred to something similar to this. But the banks, when you do a construction loan on buildings, require you to sign personally.
Right.
Now, if I'd have trusted the word at that point, I would have just said, no, I'm not doing it, because the word says no.
Right.
But, but how bad can it get? So I signed personally on these loans, and we had $14 million worth of loans that the banks willingly gave us.
Right.
And we had gained the $2 million. I hit the end of the 70s, the Jimmy Carter recession.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, I'm sure in the audience can't fathom this, but the prime rate went to 22%.
Wow.
And I had
I had
prime plus one. So I'm paying 23% on $14 million worth of loans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you hit a recession and in the economic condition of office buildings, guess what? Nobody rents office space. They're actually shrinking and going the other direction. So I have beautiful empty buildings.
Wow.
And, God save me, God save me, God save me. And nothing happened. It just, you know, ultimately I took all the $2 million left. We had great personal finances. All of my savings left. I had to sell stock in the company. That all left.
Mm-hmm.
And I run out of gas. And,
wow.
And there's nothing I can do about it. And they said, you got to file bankruptcy. And we're going to force you to. You got to give us the buildings and you got to file bankruptcy, which I did. And when you file bankruptcy, literally you have to have nothing. You know, so I had nothing in my no cash, nothing in my accounts. They came and took my cars away.
Mm-hmm.
And I get really, again, I go into that thing that happened to me when I was a kid with the athletics, as I go into a funk.
Mm-hmm.
And I do recognize this is my fault.
Right.
You know, I was stupid. I was idiotic. I didn't listen to anybody. I was greedy. I was prideful.
So not only are you in depression, but you're also in shame and guilt and beating yourself up over all of it.
Yeah. And I didn't. The one thing I didn't do was I didn't say God caused this, because I knew I caused it.
You knew it was you.
I knew it was me. But I went into guilt and, you know, and I had to process that. And so I go back into a sadness, and I'm still working, but I'm sad. And I don't spend any time with Linda and the kids because I'm just sad. And the one thing I did do. Was,
and Peter's not born yet at this point.
He had
right?
just been born.
Okay.
He had just been born. So he's now on the scene. The one thing I did do was I would take verses. I was working on forgiveness because I knew that was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand abiding. I didn't know the power of the word, but I just knew I'm gonna go memorize these verses and pray them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something will happen, you know. And so every day I'd go walking, I'd be, you know, and it would say, you know, God forgives you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, yeah, but look at what I did.
Right.
You know, and I'd talk myself out of it, you know. But I was in the Word, and praying and discussing. And then 6 months later, after being sad for that time, I'm literally walking home with these cards, and it breaks.
Hmm.
It's just a spiritual thing that just happened. And I recognize it now. It was abiding in the Word of God.
Wow.
And the power of the Word broke me. And it was like, God, you forgave me. Yes.
Mm. And suddenly freedom.
And now you can forgive yourself. Yes, I do. And he said, okay, now let's go. Let's go. You ready to go? Yep.
Wow.
And he says, are you willing to do it my way instead of your way? And absolutely. It was so painful.
Mm-hmm.
That I said yes.
Yeah.
And he said, so one thing I got to show you is unity with your spouse. Is she has the same Holy Spirit you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you've completely denied her any value of that. And she has as much to join you in as anybody. And you got to learn how to do that because you don't know how to
do
it. Okay. I will. And so we processed that and learned it. And I helped Linda, you know, accept that. And then I accepted it. And that's where we learned unity. There you command blessing. So
right.
We learned that and we experienced it. And our life really started to be changed because in the next 2.5 years, he restored all of our finances completely.
That's amazing. You think about that is unheard of in terms of talk about fast.
Yeah.
He does like to do things fast with you, it yeah. seems. 2.5 years is a fast restoration, honestly. Yeah.
And we started learning. We learned forgiveness and we learned unity and we learned, you know, listening to God and processing in the Holy Spirit. And so we're learning all these things. And we just started to have a grand life because of it. Mm. And at the time it was just, we get to rejoice with that, you know, and it was good.
Right.
And we wound up in churches. We wound up living in Colorado and wound up heading up a young couple's marriage group, and that grew. And we actually wound up.
How did you go from Chicago back to Colorado? How did that?
Of our Fortune 500 company, through a series of strange things, our chairman wanted to go be governor of Tennessee. And so he made, we're a supply, you know, a national supply company of pharmaceuticals and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And he goes and makes a play to buy a hospital system out of Nashville, Tennessee. And we all told him that doesn't make sense. They're our customer, and we supply everybody. And if we become mm-hmm. a hospital system, then all these other companies are going to start moving away from us,
right?
Because now we're competitors. And we said it doesn't make sense. No, we shouldn't do it. He said, "I'm doing it anyway." And so he did it, mm-hmm. got the deal done. It's signed. Remember, we're a publicly traded company.
Right.
Well, as soon as he announces it, our stock tanks.
Oh, wow.
To about 30% of what it was, because everybody mm-hmm. in the industry said this is.
They saw what you saw.
This is the stupidest thing we've ever seen. And the competitor, Baxter, who actually I started working for when I first got out of college, they must have had inside information because they were mm-hmm. ready. And as soon as the stock tank, they did what's called a proxy to a tender offer to say, we'll pay you the original price.
Interesting.
If you sell to us. Hmm. And all the shareholders said, sure.
Yeah.
And so they literally bought us. We were $4 billion. They were $2
billion. Okay.
But they bought us through a tender. And now we're no longer American Hospital Supply Company. We're Baxter.
Oh, interesting.
And Baxter, we were very decentralized. I had the time of my life working for this Fortune 500 company. Baxter was heavily centralized and ran the show. And so they ran all of us out and
just
replaced
us. Just a completely different work culture.
Culture, yeah. And they wanted their own people in. And right. so I looked around and said, well, what could I do? And, I could go to Colorado, set up a consulting practice and do stuff. And so that's how we wound up in Colorado. Because I said, if I'm going to live anywhere, I must live where I want to live, you know. And so we went out there and started a business. And
wow.
It was great. Maybe we'll have another session sometime, and we'll pick up from there of how the ministry came about.
Right.
Linda and I had three kids, and we were enjoying Colorado. And God, I was in business, but as that guy who helped me say, don't worry, you'll have plenty of opportunity to express what God wants to do through you, not you mm-hmm. working for him, it's what he wants to do through you.
That's beautiful.
And then out of that came the whole minute, the development of the, you know, we started churches right. and the whole ministry came about. So we'll share that sometime.
Let's plan on getting, I would love to just go ahead and get a third episode in.
Yep.
That picks up from where we're at, so people can hear it all in one chunk, but to see how God then moved you as he brought that in. And we already are seeing the pieces that he is putting together as he is weaving what will become the Abide Ministries.
Yep.
You know, he's already teaching you in these places and giving you such great life experience to build on, and he's revealing himself in so many ways. And so if we can pick up with one more episode that just then, okay, we're in Colorado, and how does he begin to weave this all together? And I know it starts with a wonderful grand retreat in Europe. Yeah. That, you know, so we want to hear it all. And then I would love for the listeners to actually be able to have a little insight into what he's doing now.
Yes.
Because what's coming in the ministry and the way that he is stirring, and again, fast, the word fast shows up with you all the time. Yep. I feel like, Rich.
Yep.
And what is happening now in the international scene, even with Abide Ministries and what he's doing, suddenly the word fast is applying again.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So let's pick that up next time, next guest time, and just hear a little more on the ministry.
And I think that, you know, the one thing that, and I will share this, but, you know, Linda and I often, we one thing we say is, well, we know one thing about our life. It's not boring.
Absolutely.
It's always interesting. Yeah. Well, thanks, Kathy.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for sharing, and thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you found this just enjoyable and that you're enjoying getting to know Rich and the story behind his and Linda's faith and their journey in the ministry itself. So we look forward to seeing you again next time and have a great week.
Yep. Good. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.